show it is 11 o'clock, so we can go ahead and get started. I'll make a few announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Please place your phone or audio connection on mute until such time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. The meeting logistics. This meeting is held in compliance with Assembly Bill 361, which allows flexibility in Brown Act teleconferencing procedures as addressed by the board under Agenda Item 1E. Public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationhigh.org. The public may also provide comments telephonically during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Orange County Workforce Innovation High School regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, June 7th, 2022, at 11 a.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck?
Here.
Frank Lucasa?
Here.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Here.
We are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. I will ask Frank Lucasa to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you, Michael. Please stand. Place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move on to staff introduction, corporate officers.
Yeah, good morning, President Adams, board. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Jeff.
Good morning. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer.
Good morning, Jerry. And school staff.
Julie Bada, Area Superintendent.
Thank you, Julie. And school legal counsel.
Good morning, Bill Thompson, legal counsel, and I'm pleased to say we have my colleague Adam Miller here with us today, too.
Thank you, Bill, and welcome, Adam. Advisors who are supporting agenda items or presenting.
Good morning, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
And good morning. This is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle.
And good morning, Bob Morales, Chief External Affairs Officer.
Thank you, Bob. Mr. Martineau, are you on?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Good. And any other staff would like to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, adopt resolution continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361, and that's Mr. Martineau.
Thank you, President Adams and board members. In your board packets, you will find the resolution for continuing Board of Directors' authority to hold virtual or teleconference meetings pursuant to Assembly Bill 361. Assembly Bill 361 was signed by Governor Newsom on September 16, 2021, and allows boards to continue to meet remotely as determined by majority vote during states of emergency, as long as the board makes required findings every 30 days that meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees. It is recommended the board make the required findings by adopting the enclosed board resolution. Are there any questions from the board?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve Agenda Item 1E.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve Agenda Item 1E.
Thank you.
Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item F, may I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the June 7th, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve the agenda for the June 7th, 2022 regular public meeting of Board of Directors.
Thank you.
Anna Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item G, may I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the May 12th, 2022 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve agenda item 1G.
Thank you.
Patty Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have one consent agenda item. The board will be asked to accept the uniform complaints report for the 2021-2022 school year. Zero complaints received. May I hear a motion? Oh, are there any board members who would like to pull this item for further discussion? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda item 1?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve consent agenda item 1.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda, by dialing the teleconference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in a case where a member of the public utilizes the translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team. I'm here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, Julie Parra.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, President Adams and board members Lucasa, Beck, and Dr. Rathgeber. I'm excited to share the wonderful work that the staff at Orange County Workforce Innovation have participated since our last meeting. First of all, congratulations to the entire staff. The WAS Commission granted Orange County Workforce Innovation High School a 6-year accreditation status through June 30th, 2028, with a mid-cycle visit during the 24-25 academic year. So that's really, really great for the team. Also, I'm pleased to announce that Orange County Workforce Innovation High School reached, go ahead and move to the next slide, 97.14 attendance on both ELA and math in CAS and 100% on the CAST, meeting the state requirements for attendance for the exams. For the LPAC, 78% of our students completed the assessment. Although we didn't meet the 95% expectation, this is an 11% increase from the previous year, and we're continuing to retest students in NWA through June 24th. Next slide. We recently partnered with Pathways Travel to offer students an opportunity to attend a crime scene investigation at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. The crime scene investigation used an interactive approach that encouraged students to participate in real-life simulation of crime scene investigation using lab evidence, mock crime scene, and industry experts. Next slide. On May 19th, Santa Ana College hosted a presentation at our school site to discuss the benefits of dual enrollment, answer college questions, and share more information about community college. Students will have the opportunity to take a career and life planning and personal exploration Counseling 116 course in the fall of 2022. This course is designed to assist students in successfully establishing and achieving education, career, and life goals. Students who complete the course will be awarded 10 elective credits and 3 college credits. Next, the Anaheim staff hosted a re-engagement fair in efforts to support disengaged students with a variety of strategies to help them overcome the barriers to their academic success. Also, in preparation for graduation, which is today, we hosted a senior day for students at the school site to decorate their graduation caps and the graduation photos. Students were able to have lunch with ourselves and celebrate their accomplishments. Last Wednesday, the class of 2022 had the opportunity to attend grad night at Disneyland. As you can see, they thoroughly enjoyed the event at the happiest place on earth. Tonight, I will have the privilege of shaking the hands with the graduates. In response to the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas, and various acts of violence across our nation, our team of administrators, counselors, and school psychologists shared the guide for responding to school shootings from the National Association of School Psychologists for Educators and Families to talk with children about violence. I would like to assure you the safety and security of our students is our utmost and responsibility that I carry with me at all times. Also, I'm sorry to share that tragic news of another student passing away. His name is Mr. Eric Quintero. On Friday, June 3rd, last Friday, due to the caring and education of our school social worker, the school was informed that he had been discovered deceased earlier that morning. So our school psychologist has made herself available, as well as additional school psychologists amongst the Learn Friday Night Network, to offer their support as the students and staff deal with this grief and loss. That concludes my presentation. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Julie, this is Frank Lucasa. Obviously, on behalf of all of us, we're deeply sorry to hear of the loss and condolences.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, Julie, we're so sorry about that. It's just very heartbreaking.
Thank you.
Yes, all of our condolences, Julie. Moving on to item B, report on mathematics placement results. Julie?
Yes. The Mathematics Placement Act of 2015 required our board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy before the beginning of the 2016 school year. Our policy was adopted in 2016 with minor revisions approved in 2020. The policy addresses student entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to ensure equity in student achievement. Based on the years of monitoring student math assessment and data and observation of teachers, math continues to be a challenge for many of our students. This challenge has been compounded by the pandemic for both our math teachers and students, but our dedicated teachers and tutors nonetheless continue to do a great job in supporting students with their math courses. For the 2021-22 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories. 3% of ninth graders' math students placed in remedial math courses, which actually is pretty good. 91% of our ninth grade math students placed in Algebra 1, and 6.1% of our ninth graders math students placed in Geometry or Algebra 2 above grade level course. Despite the challenges many of our students have already had in the math, in addition to those presented from the pandemic over the past 2 years, we are pleased to report that this year all ninth grade students progressed in their mathematics and none were held back. We will continue to evaluate the data and report to the board next year pursuant to the board's policy. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Well, in fact, I think it's great that, you know, we're doing so well in math. I mean, I think that's really good because that's a difficult problem with most all of the kids. So thanks, Julie. That was it's very good.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item C, LCFF, Local Indicators Report for School Year 2021-2022. That's Julie again.
Yes, please refer to pages 23 to 37 in your board packet as a copy of the LCFF Local Indicators Report. The Local Indicators Report is required for reporting on the priority areas where the state data is not available. The State Board of Education provides a self-reflection tools for schools to report progress made. Priority one focuses on ensuring that all students are assigned appropriate credentialed teachers, that all students have access to their own instructional materials, and that all resource centers are in good repair. We are pleased to report that they have met. We have met the criteria for the priority as evidenced by 0% teacher misassignments metric. Priority two is ensuring that we are making and implementing state academic standards and that we are providing professional data for our teachers. Overall, our school scored a 3.98 out of 5, which is full implementation of adopted academic and or curriculum framework. This is a 0.16 increase from last year. We are continually improving our curriculum frameworks in mathematics courses, CTE courses, health and visual and performing art courses, and history courses. We also increase our implementation of our English language development framework. Parent engagement is the focus for priority three. While we have met this metric by increasing communication and connection with parents and families through our data and design weekly updates to parents, Orange County Workforce Innovation continues to identify the need to increase parent engagement across all data cycles. To increase underrepresented families, Orange County Workforce Innovation plans to make additional contacts home in the form of Alpharo Connect, posts, phone calls, emails, texts, messages, and visits to home. We've seen families reach out to in multiple families, their attendance at school events increases, and the school-home relationship improves. Also, we may be able to reach higher percent of the parents and families by providing interaction for participation, such as door prizes, shout-outs in a school newsletter publications, for parents who have volunteered time or participated committees or in a year-end luncheon. Priority six evaluates our school climate. 100% of our students report that they feel safe at school, and 95% reported they feel connected to an adult at the school. This was very meaningful to the school because the faculty and leadership are very intentional in ensuring that every student experiences a school culture and they can trust and feel good about attending. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School has met the criteria for priority six. Priority seven asks us to measure our progress in ensuring that all students have access to board course of study. Due to the nature of independent study programs, students are able to access students that need to graduate. We also provide specific support classes for students working to improve their English language development and students with exceptional needs. Students are placed in the course of study that not only meet requirements for the high school diploma, but also for their goals post-graduation. We're happy to report that we met criteria for priority seven. This concludes my presentation on the LCFF Local Indicators Report. I will now open for any questions or comments from the board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Hey, this is David Rathgar. I just want to say thank you. It takes a lot of hard work to meet all of those different criteria, and it's greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Dr. Rathgar.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to the school survey report, and that's Julie again.
Yes, so I'd like to direct your attention to pages 39 through 65 of your board packets. Everywhere our school conducts a climate survey that aligns with our LCAP goals. This year we implemented a new survey tool that has helped us to gain more in-depth picture of how our students, parents, and staff are feeling about the climate of the resources of our resource center. The new tool for students includes a question on school climate, connectedness, engagement, social-emotional learning, academics, future goals, college and career, and civic engagement. To highlight a few of the important data points, 100% of our students feeling safe while attending school, 90% feel they belong at school, 20% would like more time with teachers, which is interesting, so we will definitely address that. 95% of our students feel connected to the adults at their school, and 98% say they would recommend our school to others. On our parent survey, surveyed families on the background information, safety and connection, time and interaction, communication and engagement, and our local indicators feedback metrics for being building relationships, student outcomes, and seeking input for decision making. Here are a few highlights from the parent section. 100% of the parents feel safe. Excuse me, 100% of parents feel the school is safe. 100% feel connected to the school. Additionally, 92% reported frequently interactions between the child and their child's teacher, and 94% felt that their child's school has adults that really care about students. 38.46% reported that they need more information regarding small group classes. Parents and students were able to learn more about the small group instruction classes offered by this new school year during the re-enrollment fairs. And I think that's something that we can highlight, of making sure that as the new year schools, that every student and every parent are very informed of the small group instruction classes. And I think to Secretary Beck's comment about the math placement, we saw an increase in math because we did have small group instruction. So I think this is also a highlight of, we want to make sure that everybody knows what courses are available to them. And lastly, the staff section of the survey had 100% participation across the charter. Staff was surveyed on their background as a teacher, school climate, academics and SEL, community engagement, leadership perception, and professional development and partnerships. A few insights. 100% of the staff reported feeling safe at school. 100% felt connected to the school. 89% felt their voice is welcome and heard. We definitely would like all voices to be heard, and will continue to provide more one-on-one opportunities for feedback through our performance management framework. Lastly, 89% believe that professional development activities are valuable. 100% believe that that support for professional learning and growth is available to all staff members at Orange County Workforce Administration High School. And 100% of the staff feel professional learning is aligned with strategic and improvement efforts. As you can see, there was a lot of useful data reported in these surveys that our school leaders will unpack and use to drive instruction and climate goals for the next school year. The data in these surveys is essential to our cycle of continuous improvement, and we look forward to partnering with students, parents, and staff to continue and improve our school. This concludes my presentation. Are there any questions or comments from the board?
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Julie, this is Frank Lucasa. I apologize if you mentioned it, but what did you say the percentage of participation amongst the students was?
I have the actual number, Frank, and that is
41 students. It shows 41 students completed the survey. Just curious, out of how many, what was the percentage?
Oh, we have about 200. So okay. It wasn't definitely something of making sure that we're capturing the more students so we can get more feedback.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments?
Quite a bit. I just want to say, you know, I think it's so important that the parents and the staff and everyone feels safe at the schools, because, boy, oh boy, that's such an important thing these days. And I'm so glad to hear that. We're hearing that kind of all over. And I really appreciate the way we have secured things for our kids and staff, teachers, everyone. So thank you guys for doing that.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, Annual IRS Form 990, Return of Organization Exempt from Income Tax, and the California Return for 2020 as filed, and that's Gita.
Hello, board. This is Gita with LLAC. So I'm just, I'd like to inform the board that obviously all of you received the Form 990, the school tax return, prior to it being filed. The deadline was May 15th. The tax return was on extension because every year we have to request extension due to finishing up the annual audit for the school. So it has to be done after the annual audit is completed. So it was filed timely, so I'm just informing the board that information. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond to. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item F, finance update, and that's Gita again.
Thank you, board. So I'd like you to refer, if you have your PDF packet, it's on page 67. You can find this document. This is for your information purposes. It's Hanmi Financial Update for the line of credit for the school. Hanmi Bank is the bank for the school. This document is updated as of May 23rd, 2022. It reflects the line of credit that the school has, which is $500,000, the expiration of the line of credit, which is November 3rd, 2022, and the current interest rate. So that's something I want to mention. The way the Hanmi calculates the interest is the prime rate plus 0.5%. The lowest is 3.75%. So the highest of either the prime rate plus 0.5% or 3.75%. So at this time, the current rate is 4.5, and it was increased from my last reporting to the board, which was at 4%. It also reflects the line of credit, how much the school has drawn from the line of credit, which is zero. There's no loans at this time or line of credit drawn. Also, it reflects the covenant ratio. These are all the calculations that we have to provide to the bank as far as the financial health of the school in order for the school to continue to be qualified for the line of credit. So this is a document for your information if you ever need to reference it back to this. It's here for you. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item G, Area Superintendent Performance Review Evaluation Tool for School Year 2022-2023, first read. Mr. Martineau.
Thank you, President Adams and board members. In your board packets, you will find the draft for the 2022-2023 Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool for a first read. As indicated in the Area Superintendent Evaluation Policies Procedures approved during the 2020-2021 school year, the attached draft Area Superintendent Evaluation Tool has been developed and reviewed in collaboration with the corporate officers and Area Superintendent and is provided to you for additional feedback and recommendations. Changes for the 2022-2023 Evaluation Tool include change number one, under the section titled Recommended Evaluation Requirements, Process, and Timeline, a mid-year check-in with the Area Superintendent and Board has been added for January. Change number two, added to the focused area of performance for evaluation, school has been added, with it now reading School, Family, and Community Relations. Change number three, the indicator performance level titles column headers now read Unsatisfactory Performance, Needs Improvement, Satisfactory Performance, and Exceeds Expectations. In addition, a brief description is provided for each level. Change number four, a point scale of 1 to 4 was added to each performance indicator on the rubric with a column to add up the numbers within each focused area of performance. Change number five, more specific descriptions language was added to the rubric throughout the evaluation tool. And finally, change number six, an indicator and rubric language on professionalism was added to the focused area of performance under school, family, and community relations. At this time, I welcome any input or feedback that the board may have, or if you need a little more time to review the document, you can certainly email me or reach out to me by phone, and I'd be happy to discuss with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item five, public hearing. I am going to request a motion to open the public hearing.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to open the public hearing.
Thank you. May I hear a second?
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes, and we are now in the public hearing. The board will hold a public hearing to solicit recommendations and comments of members of the public regarding the budget overview for parents and the Local Control Accountability Plan, LCAP, for the 2022-2023 school year. The public hearing is now open at 11:29 a.m. The board has allotted 15 minutes for the public hearing. Members of the public shall have 3 minutes each to address the board during the hearing. The board may extend this time upon majority vote. The board will first hear a presentation from Julie Parra, Area Superintendent.
Yes, thank you. Please refer to pages 99 through 183 of the board package as we move through the public hearing. The budget overview for parents includes information on the local control funding formula, revenues, supplemental and concentration grants, and state funds. The budget overview for parents demonstrates to the public and parents that the school directed its fund in 2021-2022 towards increasing or improving service and meeting the needs of the school community, while also directing funds for its high-needs students, such as low-income students, English learners, foster youth, and homeless students. On page 99, you will see a projected revenue chart, which explains the projected revenue for the school year by each fund source. As mentioned before, this takes into account LCFF funds with both supplemental and concentration funds, local and state and federal funds. The chart not only lists the amount of each funding source, but also the percentage of the total revenue for that source. The total revenue for the school was projected to be $4,079,770, of which the vast majority of, at 88%, is from LCFF funding, 8% from state funds, and the rest from local and federal funds. On page 100, you'll see a chart for the budget expenditures and the local control accountability plan. The total estimated budget expenditures for Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is $4,062,430. Of that amount, $3,603,223 are tied to the action services in the LCAP. The school team has been hard at work reflecting the progress we made towards our LCAP goals during the 21-22 school year. In our last board meeting on May 12th, I provided an overview of the progress we made on each LCAP goal. The LCAP for 2022, which starts on page 110 of your board packet, is a direct result of reflections on current process, your input, the input of our community partners, such as parents and students, which occurred through various meetings from our surveys, which you just heard a bit about. On the next slide, we have gathered data and reflected. We determined the following successes and identified the following needs. Student successes. Students earned an average of 0.83 more credits since the beginning of the previous school year. Our English learners earned 0.07 higher credit completion rather than the all group. The foster youth student groups earned 0.73 higher credit completion as compared to the all group. We decreased the dropout rate by 11.2% to only 4.42. Our success rate increased 5.6 points to 95.6, and our retention rate increased by 5.0 up to 88%. Our school survey data shows that 100% of our students felt safe at school. 95% of the students felt connected to the adults at the school year. Our internal DAS graduation rate of 78.2 has already been surpassed that of last year by 22%. The reclassification rate of 11%, which is above the state average of 8.6, and keep in mind, last year, the year prior was at 4%, so there was a significant increase on that. In regards to identified needs, the first area concern is that our CASPER results show that English learners, low income, and students with disabilities are scoring below the all group in the English language arts and mathematics. The low income students graduated at 0.4% lower than the all student group. Closing the gaps in our graduation will need improvement monitoring and input from our educational partners. Another area of concern is NWA reading and mathematics scores decreased from last year to this year. Overall, the English learner students did not demonstrate growth in NWA math quantile scores and reading Lexile scores. The reading scores for our English learners were 183 Lexile points lower and 140 quantile points lower in math. After reflecting on these successes and identified needs, the team has been working hard to complete the cycle of inquiry and prepare the LCAP for the upcoming year. Orange County Workforce Innovation High School is excited to present the plan to our board and community members in attendance today. After reflecting, the team concluded that the four LPAC goals in our cycle are still relevant, and continuous pursuit and focus on these goals will help to increase critical need areas such as core content mastery, credit completion, and EAL reclassification. For a quick review, the following are the proposed goals for the 22-23 LCAP. 1, increase academic progress. This is a focus goal for increasing academic progress for all students, especially our English language learners, low income, and foster youth who struggled during this previous year. In the next 3 years, we'll have mitigated the negative impact learning loss had on our students, and we'll see improvement in our NWA EL reclassification and foster youth students. 2, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. This is a broad goal for helping students gain skills for college and careerness for all students, including low-income English learners and foster youth. 3, increase student retention. This is a maintenance goal for our student retention. It is designed to continue the success we have had with addressing student re-engagement from their schooling and support their decision to either matriculate or graduate through our program. We have safe and welcoming facilities with a positive school climate, which effectively encourage students to remain engaged in their school experience. 4, increase educational partner engagement. This is a maintenance goal for increasing engagement. We believe in parent participation along with their students' academic progress, and we believe we should be encouraged to participate in meaningful ways to promote school outcomes. We have recently worked with the finance team to allocate funds to support these goals. A breakdown of the budget item is available in your board packet on page 152 through 161. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask for any questions or comments the board or the public may have on the BLP and the LCAP for the 2022-23 school year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, for the 2022-2023 school year. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comments now? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who submit written comments to the board?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. I will now request a motion to close the public hearing.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Pat Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
And that passes with 4 yes votes. The public hearing is now closed at 11:37 a.m. And we'll move on to item 6, action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve Claudette Beck to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. And Claudette, you'll be abstaining from this. May I hear a motion?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6A.
Thank you.
David Rathgaber, I second that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Staines?
Staines. Sorry.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve Frank Lucasa to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. And Frank, you'll be abstaining from this one. May I hear a motion?
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion for action item B to keep.
David Rathgaber, I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? And roll call vote. Michael Adam Desai, Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Abstain.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 3 yes votes and 1 abstention. Item C, the board will be asked to approve Dr. David Rathgaber to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023. And Dr. Rathgaber, you'll be abstaining from this one. May I hear a motion?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6C.
Thank you.
Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Abstain.
That passes with 3 yes votes and 1 abstention. Item D. The board will be asked to approve Michael R. Adams to serve on the board of directors for the
term. Mr.
President Adams, I think Claudette's going to do that one.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm on D. The board will be asked to approve Michael D. Adams to serve on the board of directors for the term July 1st, 2022 through July 30th, 2023. Could I get a motion?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6D.
Claudette Beck, I will second that. Did you hear?
Yes.
Yeah, we got that. Now you want to, Claudette, go ahead and take the vote.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Michael Adams?
Abstain.
Claudette Beck, I say aye. And, excuse me, oops. And Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
And David?
Aye. Close enough.
Thank you all. That's unanimous by our board.
Thank you very much for handling that, Claudette. We'll move on to item E. The board will be asked to approve the amended conflict of interest code. That's Jeff Martineau.
Thank you, President Adams and board members. In your board packets, you will find the Fair Political Practice Commission, or FPPC, approved amended conflict of interest code for Western Educational Corporation, which operates Orange County Workforce Innovation High School. This is the same conflict of interest code that I provided updates on to the board earlier in the year. As a reminder, the FPPC is the state agency which oversees Form 700s and ensures that officials are making decisions in the best interest of the public. In addition, because Western Educational Corporation has jurisdiction of office in multiple counties, the FPPC directly oversees the conflict of interest code. At this time, it is recommended the board approve the amended Western Educational Corporation conflict of interest code. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 6E.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6E.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a second call.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item F. The board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers and senior administration to make all reasonable and necessary business arrangements and enter into all reasonable and necessary transactions, including but not limited to contracts with vendors, employees, consultants, and others. Is anyone going to give a report on that one, or should I just ask for a motion?
You're good to ask for a motion.
Thank you. May I hear a motion to approve action item 6F?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6F.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item G. The board will be asked to reauthorize the corporate officers to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry items of various sundry times. May I hear a motion to approve action item 6G?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6G.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item H. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 2022-2023, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school, and that's Gita Sharifi.
Thank you, board. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, is primary source of funding for the school. This funding has two primary components: a base rate, which applies to the school that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span, and also a supplemental and concentration component that depends on the percentage of schools, English learners, foster youth, or low-income students. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue for the school, and it is essential for budget preparation and LCAP development. For fiscal year 22-23, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total of $3,594,402, and this total includes a base funding of $2,608,732, or 72.5% of the total LCFF funding, as well as supplemental and concentration funding of $985,670, or 27.5% of the total LCFF funding. This concludes my review of the LCFF funding, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, they hear a motion to approve action item 6H.
Frank Ficasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6H.
Thank you.
Patty Beth, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Ficasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item I. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, EPA, spending determinations. Eva Shreefy.
Thank you, board. So the EPA funding is a component of the school's total LCFF entitlement. As shown on the budget, which I will review, on, it's on the, your agenda, it is included in the LCFF sources section of page 2 of Form 62, which is the budget, and it's coded under code 8012. For current fiscal year, the school will receive an EPA revenue of $45,840. For next fiscal year, 22-23, its estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFF calculator, and it's calculated at $48,684. And this funding must be used for instructional purposes only, and it must be posted onto the school's website on an annual basis, which is posted on the school website. If there's any questions on the EPA, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may hear a motion to approve action item 6I.
Frank Ficasso, I make a motion to approve action item 6I.
Thank you.
Madam Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Ficasso?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item J. The board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2022-2023 fiscal year. Eva Shreefy.
Thank you, board. So the preparation of the school's budget is based on the funding information from the governor's made revision to the state budget, and will be adjusted in the future if there are any changes to the budget and when the budget is signed. That's in June of 2022. Or sometimes there are subsequent revisions during the summer, and that causes revisions which will bring it back to the board. The funding projections for next fiscal year include a COLA of 6.56% to the LCFF funding rate compared to the prior year. This is the highest COLA we have seen since the inception of the LCFF funding formula. There are additional funding, $2.1 billion, included in the state budget that will be allocated to this to the base rate of the LCFF formula. This was also in the May revision of the governor's state budget. However, there is still no clarity on how this will look like or the impact to the funding rate. So it is not included in the development of the current budget for 22-23. The May revision to the state budget also includes $8 billion for one-time discretionary grants. However, there is no detail on what these grants will look like, and therefore potential additional fundings will be added to the school's budget in the future revisions. This fiscal year, we will see slightly different appearance for the budget year of 22-23 on the appearance of the report. The California Department of Education has implemented a new web-based application to report the school's financial information starting with the fiscal year 22-23. The sections of the report remain the same, but the sections do not follow the same page numbering as prior reports. On the last page of this report, as you see on the screen, you can also find this full report in your PDF package, pages 89 to 97. On pages 96 to 97, it reflects the ADA information for the school, which funds the majority of the school funding. ADA for the current year is at 229, and the ADA projection of next fiscal year is projected at 243. The school is projecting an ADA increase of 14, which will have a positive effect in most ADA-based funding sources. If you refer to the first page of the budget report on page 89 of your PDF packet, you'll see the revenue section for 22-23. The projected budgeted revenue for next fiscal year is budgeted at $4 million. This shows a decrease of 1.2% compared to the current fiscal year. And this is due to several factors. Revenue from LCFF sources is projected to increase from $3.1 million this year to $3.5 million next fiscal year. This is due to combination of increase in LCFF funding rate of the COLA I just discussed at 6.56% and the increase in projected ADA showing a total increase of 13.5% in the LCFF funding. Federal funding is budgeted at $173,000. This shows a substantial decrease of 62% compared to the current fiscal year. And this is basically due to an absence of one-time revenue from the PPP loan forgiveness that the school received in the current fiscal year but will not repeat next fiscal year. The school budgeted other state revenues for $310,000. This shows a decrease of 11% from current fiscal year, and that's due to a combination of factors, including absence of one-time revenue from Educator Effectiveness Block Grant and A to G grant that the school received in this current fiscal year but will not repeat again next fiscal year, 22-23. This was somehow offset by an increase of state SPED funding due to a combination of an increase in budgeted ADA and an increase in funding rate for SPED. So the SPED rate was increased from $715 per ADA to $820 per ADA. Lastly, the school is projecting similar levels of the local revenue, about $1,500, and does not anticipate any big changes in this revenue source. On the expense side, the school is budgeting a total expenditure of $4 million. The budget reflects a small increase in salaries and benefits of 2%. This includes a small decrease in teachers and certificated support and classified instructions, and an increase in certificated administrative and classified technical salaries. Purchase spending is budgeted at $135,000, showing a reduction of 22% compared to the current fiscal year. This comes from a reduction on curriculum materials, school supplies, and equipment. Budget for total operating expenses is $1.2 million, showing an increase of 3% compared to the current fiscal year. This small increase includes an increase in budgeted spending in training facilities and small decrease in professional services. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $17,000 for fiscal year 22-23. With the excess revenue and the current year's projected net position of $1 million for 22-23, the school will end up fiscal year 22-23 with a balance of projected net position of $1,024,274, which is 25% of the total budgeted expenditures. Of this ending balance, $163,744 will be restricted reserves and will be spent in subsequent years following the programs and spending plans for the Educator Block Grant as well as A to G grants. This concludes my report on the 22-23 budget for the school. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to respond to. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Gita, hi, this is Frank Lucasa. Just a quick question. On the unrestricted net position increase of 10.9% year over year, is that also spread out over subsequent years as far as required spending on that?
The unrestricted net position is going to be, you can only spend it, you can only delay it 1 year. So okay. The funding was received for ADA this year, then you can only extend it to 1 year. Got the it. Rest of the restricted funds are multiple years, that 163,000.
Got it, understood, thank you.
Thank you, any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6J?
Frank Lucasa, make a motion to approve action item 6J.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item K. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, LCAP, for the 2022-2023 school year. Julie Parra.
Yes, thank you. So annually, charter schools must prepare and submit the board-approved LCAP to the chartering authority and the county superintendent of schools. The LCAP presents a 3-year plan that describes the goals, actions, services, and expenditures to support positive student outcomes that address state and local priorities and connect with the school budget. During the public hearing, I shared the 22-23 budget overview for parents and LCAP for the second year of this current LCAP cycle. At this time, I'd like to recommend the board approve the plan.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6K?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6K.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item L. The board will be asked to approve the school's Title I federal addendum for school-wide program for the 2022-2023 fiscal year. Julie Parra.
Yes, so for the second year in a row, Orange County Workforce Innovation is interested in applying for additional funds through the Every School, Every Student Succeeds, that's commonly known as the ESSA Title I funds. In 1965, the federal government began providing additional funding for disadvantaged pupils. Schools receive the funds based on number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. The difference in our request this year is that we're asking to become a school-wide program, which means that we can apply the funds to school-wide indicators as opposed to target assistance where targeted specific based on two indicators, in this case our English learners and performance on the NWA. The exact amount the school will receive next year will depend on the amount allotted to the state of California in the next few months. The federal addendum included in your board packet completes the template provided by the California Department of Education and is the first step in the application process. It describes the capacity in which the school has to meet the federal requirements that accompanies the funding. We can use the funds to upgrade programs to support students with the greatest need, include intervention programs, small group instruction, English learner support, tutoring, counseling, reading and math programs, technology and parent engagement. We are recommending the board approve the school's application for Title I funds for a school-wide program with the final decision-making authority delegated to the area superintendent and corporate officers to submit a federal addendum to receive Title I funds for the 2022-23 fiscal year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6L?
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6L.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Lucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgeber?
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Item M. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2022-2023 school year. Julie Parra.
Yes, the consolidated application, or CONAP, is used by the California Department of Education, CDE, to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct-funded charter schools throughout California. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local educational agency using the Consolidated Application and Reporting System submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LAA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that created the programs. As previously discussed, the school will be requesting Title I federal funds again this year. Title I is a federal categorical program contained in the consolidated application. Its purpose is to ensure that all children have a fair and equal opportunity to obtain high-quality education and reach proficiency on state content standards and assessments. The intent of this funding is to meet the educational needs of low-achieving students enrolled in highest poverty schools. We are recommending the board approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the state for the school for the 22-23 school year.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6M?
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6M.
Thank you.
Beth, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude Etchak?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item M. The board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, ARLOC, from Hanmi Bank for the 2022-2023 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the ARLOC provisions. Peter Shreepy.
Thank you, board. So in the prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Hanmi Bank that offers a line of credit at a very competitive interest rate. This request has been approved by the board annually since fiscal year 18-19, and for next fiscal year 22-23, the school is requesting the approval of $500,000 standard line of credit from Hanmi Bank. The interest rate is the highest of the 3.75% and prime rate plus 0.5%. Currently, the prime rate is at 4% plus 0.5%, setting the rate at 4.5%. That concludes my request for the line of credit with Hanmi Bank.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6N?
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6N.
Thank you.
Patty Beth, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude F. Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item O. The board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 2022-2023 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory note provisions and applicable interest. Peter Shreepy.
Thank you, board. So it's a recommended promissory note with LLAC. That is on pages 197 and 200. You can find the promissory note template. This is another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It is a low-interest alternative and allows the school to access additional funds if other financing sources are not available or they're more expensive or not sufficient, and it helps the school to keep financing costs low. The amount approved for the promissory note between the school and the LLAC will be the maximum borrowing during the fiscal year. For fiscal year 22-23, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $250,000 from LLAC if needed. The interest rate is set at a fixed rate of 4%. That is July 1, 2022 through June 30, 2023. That concludes my recommendation to request a promissory note from LLAC. Thank you so much. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 6O.
Frank Fucasa, I make a motion to approve action item 6O.
Thank you.
Patty Beth, I will second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude F. Beck?
Aye.
Frank Fucasa?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Oops,
here, mute. Mr. Brown, I think you might be on mute.
Let me do this again. Thank you, President Adams, and board members. Superintendent Julie Parra, I want to thank you for those reports. It takes a lot of effort and detail, and you and your staff put this together. 6-year WASC, congratulations. I'm delighted for that. And the project you had, the Las Vegas trip, activities for these young people, your LPAC progress is important to see. I did appreciate the LCFF reports and the student and teacher reports. It comes down to, you made all the priorities, but it comes down to safety, safety, safety. It seems to be a criteria that we're proud of and our schools are proud of. I'm going to take a moment to recognize that the students' needs during these crises that come up, the grief counselors that are available to them. Not only did they just experience what happened outside of this state, in other states, but then a loss of one of their own has got to be very traumatic. So I just want to say, keep up that effort to reach out. It's not just the counselors, it's the teachers. And it's the students feeling they can come forth. So I'm not going to go any further with this. I want to take it back to you, Mr. President, again. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent?
Thank you, sir. I echo Mr. Brown's sentiments. Julie, our hearts go out to you and your staff on a continual basis for the losses that you sustain time and again. And we're so grateful that you guys are there to love those kids and to keep them safe. So thank you, Julie. Appreciate it more than words can say. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board members' observations and comments?
Yeah, hi, Julie.
Go ahead,
David.
Yeah, this is David Rathgaber. I just want to say this is my first year on the board as we're coming to a close of my first year, and I want to tell everyone how much I appreciate seeing the genuine concern and care for the students here, that we're here trying to do the best for the students that are most in need, and I really appreciate that. That's something that near and dear to my heart, so I want to thank you all for allowing me to participate and for all the work that you all do. Thanks.
Yeah, Julie, this is Frank Lucas, and I really just want to echo everyone's sentiments, and again, condolences. It's just heartbreaking when you have that type of a loss of a student, but again, kudos to you and your staff with the amazing work that you guys are doing, engaging with students and you know, keeping the safety top of mind and making sure that as our students are learning that they're safe and they're comfortable and they're able to learn in a way that fosters that safety and progressive learning. So thank you.
Becky, I'll just say, reiterate what Jeff said. I mean, he went through most everything. I've written down a few things, but basically, you know, Jeff said a lot, and of course so did Frank. And gosh, Julie, thank you so much. I mean, it's really important for the safety of our kids and just everything. I love the thing that you did with the crime, when the kids got to the crime thing. I thought that was really cool because, boy, they're going to learn a little bit more. Maybe they'll have a little respect for our officers. And I think that would be good. The dual enrollment in college, I think, is great, too. Guys, do such a good job with that. Boy, just everything. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other questions or any other observations and comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 8, closed session. I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for public employee discipline, dismissal, release, and government code section 54957B. And may I hear a motion?
Frank Vicasa, I make a motion to close the open session and move to the closed session.
Thank you.
Claudia Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude Ed Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. Hang in there while we get sent off to another room for the closed session.
Board President Adams, all of the board members have arrived, and General Counsel is back as well.
Thank you very much. And report of action taken at the closed session on a motion by Frank Lucasa, seconded by Claudette Beck, and on a 4-0 vote, we exited closed session to return to the open public board meeting. No action was taken in closed session for public employee discipline, dismissal, release under Government Code Section 54957B. And so we will move on to item 9, closing items. Our next regular board meeting is July 20th, 2022 at 12 p.m. And I will hear a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Frank Lucasa, I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucasa.
Aye.
Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Great meeting.